Yourself comfortable. Thank you, worship team, for your ministry this morning. Praise the Lord for your lives. Just wanted to make sure that we have these basket here. If you have more names during the service, remember a name or something, bring them, put them on a little card and bring them over here. We have been praying for these names during the week, and we will continue to do so. So just saying, let's save some souls, people. Amen? Praise the Lord. And you know why we need to save some souls? Because we live in perilous times. Does anyone here know what is the clock, or where is the clock of God right now? We know that it has not stopped. We know it is ticking. We know that the one day, this beautiful sun out there will stop shining. Will not rise anymore. We know that one day, just like it was at the time of Noah, all of a sudden, the door of the ark was closed. And talking about the ark, by the way, just came to me right now. This is this Holy Spirit inspired. If you haven't gone there, we are leaving on the 19th of this coming month, August. A group of us going to be driving down there, 8-hour drive, and going to be visiting the ark. It's going to be called the Ark Encounter. You pay about $100 for the Ark Encounter, and one day we're going to visit the ark, and the next day we are going to be visiting the Creation Museum. And I have read some of the reviews from those who have gone down there, and they are, you know, it's quite something. You could spend 2 or 3 days in there. So much things to see and to do, and videos to watch, you know, interactive ways of showing that God created the world, and He's going to make an end of it. At least a transformation. Are you going to change it back to its original state at one point where there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more sweating, no more bad smells, no more itching, no more disease, no more too fat or too skinny, like just perfect. It's coming near you pretty soon. So the Lord, His clock is ticking. But in the meantime, we are living in perilous times. And we need to understand, what are we up against? What in the world is happening? Why or what is happening? And what are we going to be facing and have been facing as the Christian evangelical church? And to make sure we understand this, that there's actually perilous times ahead of us, let's read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. For those who have a Bible, 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5 says this: "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." Terrible is terrible. Not easy going, not just lay back and everything good. Terrible times. Terrible. Have you had terrible days? What do they look like? I tell you, it comes even close to what is coming. Terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, really. Seems like us today. We love ourselves and we pray. You know, isn't that interesting? When we pray for people, when we pray for our children, Lord, keep them safe. Yes, we want to, you know, when they travel, and when you travel, safe, we say, safe travels. It's kind of like, yeah, of course we don't want no accident to happen. And we pray for safety. That means that we really love ourselves. And I guess we should, at one point, at least. Because the Bible says, you know, we are to love ourselves. but in the good sense. So people will be lovers of themselves, don't care about anything else. It's all about me. That's how far this love is going, and that's the problem. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. I've heard that before. We run after this stinky paper or plastic that they give out now. Boastful, proud. Oh, I tell you, there's so much pride in these last days. And that is not just the parades out there showing their pride downtown Toronto or in any big city or Tel Aviv or Brazil. People are proud. I am proud. I have a hard time to admit that I sometimes am wrong. Or people even say, you know, I'm good. I'm a good Christian. I do many things for the Lord and church. So God, you better be okay with me, okay? Because I'm good. I'm doing many good things. Sorry. People will be in the last days abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving. You probably have seen that one. Somebody, eventually one day you offended somebody, that person still can't get over you, still has something holding back on you. Maybe you are holding back on someone because 55 years ago he said a bad word to you. I even remember this, just me and my wife were talking the other day. A pastor that I considered a very important, you know, very good guy. And he caught me, whatever, I was just bringing a guy from his church who happened to come to visit our church, and I brought him home. He sent some, almost like some curse words against me, thinking or telling me, you are stealing my members, which I wasn't doing. It's not my fault that the guy wanted to come to our church. But I heard some very tough words on that evening. And it has taken me quite some time to get over it. And really, I have forgiven him because that's what the Lord says we should do. But I'm not sure if I really want to be his best friend ever. And I'm not sure if I have to. Have forgiven, yes, forgiven. Good, and I'm going to be in heaven together. Fine, wonderful. But it took me a little while. Whenever I saw that guy, because I thought I was really completely innocent in this thing. But in the last days, people will be unforgiving, will be slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying its power. This is specifically for the church. Having a form of godliness. We call this religion. We follow a bunch of 10 rules. We come to church once a week or twice a week. We do this, we do this, we do the cleaning, we do this. And we do sing 3 or 4 hymns. We do one type of prayer. We do read 1 or 2 scriptures a day. And hey, I have done my religious duty. But somehow we do it mechanically. We do it, like I was sharing with my brother in the prayer meeting. By the way, everybody's invited to a prayer meeting, 9:30 in the morning every Sunday here. You're welcome to come. What we're talking about, we sometimes just follow protocol. Just trying to do the good thing, the right thing, and we're done. We're good. But we are denying his power. How do we do that? By not using it. by not going any further, by not wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit, by not wanting to actually go into hospitals and lay hands on people and bring the healing. Or going out there in the streets or eventually, you know, have to cast out a demon off somebody. That is denying God's power. We just do the regular thing. So in the last days, we'll have the form of godliness, but we'll deny its power, having nothing to do with such people, the Bible says. Now I pray that all of us here are actually believers in the power of God. I really pray that we would actually be what the Lord wants us to be and be an instrument in His hands the way He wants us to be. Now, just to make sure we understand that the day of the Lord is close, 2 Peter chapter 3. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to what? Stimulate you to wholesome thinking. More than ever before, our minds have gone numb. We like the security of our homes. We love it. I do too. But for some reason, we think if I am secure, if my money in the bank is secure, if my car is okay, my family is doing well, I am okay. I must have been doing the right thing because the Lord is blessing me. Well, let's rethink that. Do we understand that our neighbors are going to hell if you don't tell them? Do we understand that one day the clock of God will stop ticking? Do we understand that we were sinners and we are now on our pathway to heaven and we should be thankful and grateful for it? So I write both of them and as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Verse 2, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand. This is not a try to understand. The text is saying we must understand what is actually happening around us. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. Scoffing and following their own evil desires, they will say, where is this coming? Yeah, see, you know, we the church. Sometimes, yeah, you know, not now. How many people here are thinking right now, well, the Lord might come this week? No way. I got a trip to do. I got a trip to Kentucky to go first. I have other things I have planned to do yet. And the young people, I want to get married yet. Well, how many of us? They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since in the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. Has to do a little bit with the wholesome thinking. One day it will be destroyed by fire. Talk about global warming. Yeah, it will be a global warming, all right. It will burn, it will melt, but it will not be provoked by your little exhaust of your vehicle. It will not be provoked by maybe some chimney out of the factory somewhere in China or in the Canada or the U.S. It will be provoked by that finger of God. One thing or one day, this earth will melt in the heat. And the elements will melt and will be destroyed. And the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day. Right now, It's all being kept, but it is for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. It's not meant for you, by the way. Praise the Lord for that. It's not meant for you. It's meant for those who insist to be continue on proud and pride, being prideful. No, I don't need God. I am good on my own. And people have made up their minds. Now, we don't know that who they are. That's why we preach. But some will say yes. Some will give a good response. Others will say, no, I don't want this. Let them be. Their end is this year and no different. Because the text says they will be kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and a year and 1,000 years are like a day. Now, I'm going to touch this here today, but there will be, I will share about the millennium and all that that's still coming. I'm getting ready on a series for the end times specifically and what is coming according to the order of things. But we'll leave that for later. So the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He is not slow. Sometimes we think he is. Some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now that is what the Lord wants. He wants people to repent, to say, I am sorry. I need you, Lord. And maybe some of these people need to get in contact with someone that is sitting right here in this sanctuary this morning, waiting for someone to tell me something. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. And you know, you have seen some construction. The other day, me and my wife went downtown Toronto. There are such beautiful buildings out there. Just beautiful. High-rise buildings, glass, all kinds of shapes and forms. Now, those buildings, they will start crumbling down. Because it's not me saying, by the way. It says here, by the day of the Lord will come like a thief, the heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare, flat. And since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Well, you ought to live a holy and godly life. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. And here's the other question I have. Are we looking forward? Am I looking forward for his coming? Or I'm, no, not yet, because I got plans. Am I looking forward for his coming? Because that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward again to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Hallelujah. So then, dear friends, verse 14, you are looking forward to this. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Verse 17, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away. Now, we are being carried away slowly but steady. We look around and we see the world changing around us. We have, it's all about, the social media, the money, the desire for things, the things that the eyes see and they want it. And I don't know why, but I always like, when I see a Mercedes, my eyes go, oh, a Mercedes. Wow. Maybe one day you're going to have a Mercedes. You know, and if I let myself into this, I am being led away. Our focus is not the Mercedes. Our focus is not the car. Our focus is not the house. Our focus is not the money. Our focus is Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. So what is the church up against? Well, we are up against the lack of wholesome thinking. Our minds are getting numb. We live in a world full of pleasure seekers. We ourselves are looking for some pleasure, some time of rest, some time of where I can finally do the things I like to do. It is more and more and more and more, and we want more of that. It's because we kind of have lost the focus. Are we different as church? We are sometimes living as if nothing was about to happen. We are living away, day by day. All of a sudden, boom, something. It reminds me of Syria. See, people in Syria, they were living a life like you and I until a bomb fell on their roof. And they just heard the sirens of war. It's time to get out. It's time to leave and to leave now and leave everything behind and run. And it has caused one of the greatest migration ever in the world. But they were living lives like you and me. Now we might even think, well, here in Canada, everything is secured, everything is good. Everything was here, but nothing happens here because we got a good prime minister. We're in a safe place. Don't count on it. Oh, we got the money. Well, don't count on that one either. Because people had money. People had nice sofas in their homes, in their living rooms. All of a sudden, that was left behind and knew it's time to run. Sometimes our desire for pleasure is uncontrollable. People find pleasure in bars and theaters and gambling halls and sport arenas. And the more excitement, the better. That's why we are called for wholesome thinking. First Peter 4, chapter verse 7. And I'm going to like me to read here in the Message translation. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up. So take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Can't get clearer than that. Ephesians 5, 14 to 24. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Could it be that we are actually sleeping? Apparently the Apostle Paul here would have to say this, this is Paul. He would have to talk to the church and kind of wake them up. Guys, come on, what are you talking about? You're trying to live a good life? No. It's time to wake up. That's what he says here. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Rise from the dead? I thought I was alive. He's talking to a group of Christians here. This world will come to an end, yes. And I don't want to scare you, but yes, I want to wake you up. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, in verse 15. And I'm reading from Ephesians 5. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Number two, we are up against business, busyness, distractions, sports, work, household duties, food, social media, cell phones, tablets, computers, entertainment. Can you be wrapped up around these things? And I mentioned it the other day here, how much time do we spend in a kitchen? Whether it is thinking about preparing food, actually preparing food, eating food, buying food, organizing food, cleaning the kitchen, doing the dishes. What are you saying? Should we leave the dishes dirty now? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying just think about the time we spend in the household doing what we think is important. Or in the garden. Or cleaning the car, you know, shining the car. It has to be spent hours sometimes. Not me. Haven't done it here in Canada yet. But I have done it in Brazil, though. But my first vehicle, I was shining that car, man. It was like a machine. Shiny as it could be. Spending time shining the car. You can do hours. You can do that for hours if you like your car. So we are up against certain things that we think it's okay doing, and it's not really bad doing them, but think about the time we are spending in doing certain things that really could reduce the amount of time in doing those. Busyness, distraction, sports. How many are involved in sports? We think sports are extremely important. We gotta live for sports. You gotta put the kids in the sports. Because they need to grow and they need to, it's important for them to involve. So I can actually, you know, have pride on my children that are winning any sports. And you can't even pay lots of money to have your kids in sports. Is it wrong having kids in sports? No. Just think about the time you're spending in these trivial things. Social media, Facebook, Instagram. I was given a book this week. It's interesting that a regular teenager, an average from Barna Group Research, spends about 11 hours a day on the screen sometimes. If you have nothing to do on a vacation, or you know, you spend from the morning till evening, you gotta be on the screen, any type of screen. Have you noticed that you have your cell phone, and your cell phone, there is a little time counter. You can see how many hours you spend a day on a screen, on your little computer, on your little Facebook, on your little cell phone. Hey, I'm guilty. I'm preaching to you, but I'm preaching actually to me too. Just want to make sure. Sometimes too much screen time. Trivial things. We are missing out on the most important. I got 1 minute to wrap this up. Home of Martha and Mary. We can continue next Sunday, no problem. You remember as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, and I'm reading here from Luke chapter 10. On their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And she had a sister called Mary who decided to do nothing. She sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Special guest would come, who had come. They should be running around and getting ready for the food. But that's not what Martha did. I mean, Mary. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations, the text says in verse 40. that had to be made. So she came to him, to Jesus, and asked him, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. I'm doing all the dishes here. And they didn't have a dishwasher. Tell her to help me, Lord. And Jesus had the courage to say to Martha, who was the one that was working, the Lord answered, you are worried, upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. See, Jesus had a priority straight. It's about the fellowship with the Father that really counts during the day. It's not about preparing to serve me. Serve me can wait. Let's have fellowship. Let's talk about the Father. Let's talk about the heavenly things. Let's talk about what is coming. Let's talk about the clock of God. Let's talk about salvation. Let's talk about we need to win the world over before the time is up. One verse to wrap it up. Psalm 119, and I read this psalm in one shot this week sometime. 119 verse 37 says this, turn my eyes away from worthless things and preserve my life according to your word. Take my eyes away from things that really are trivial, really doesn't matter. Can we do that? Is it not too late? Well, I can tell you are still breathing. You still have a desire in your heart. And I have a hunch that you love the Lord. You still love Him. And I also have a hunch that you want to do the right thing. This is a time, as the worship team comes up here, this is a time for us to examine ourselves. And ask the Lord, Lord, we know that your clock is ticking. We know that we don't have that much time anymore. Even living in a rich country, it doesn't matter. The buildings will be flattened at one point. Would you examine my heart? Would you examine where my heart has been? Would you bring it back to focus on you? Lord, help me not to focus, or help me not to do my thing religiously or according to protocol. Help me, Lord Jesus, to serve you. But with my heart surrendered to you in obedience. So as you listen to this worship team singing a song here, take a time, take a moment to reflect. Or as you play, maybe you play something there. Can you play something there? Just give her.